Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who will be preaching about the assignment. There's a unique 7-part assignment for the Christian, and we are going to unpack that by looking at Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. I'm using the Living Bible translation today to read the scripture, and then Alex will take it from there. I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wary as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware, for you will be arrested and tried and whipped in the synagogues. Yes, and you must stand trial before governors and kings for my sake. This will give you the opportunity to tell them about me. Yes, to witness to the world. When you are arrested, don't worry about what you will say at your trial. For you will be given the right words at the right time. For it won't be you doing the talking, it will be the Spirit of your Heavenly Father speaking through you. Brother shall betray brother to death, and father shall betray their own children, and children shall rise against their parents and cause their deaths. Everyone shall hate you because you belong to me, but all of you who endure to the end shall be saved. When you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. I will return before you have reached them all. A student is not greater than his teacher. A servant is not above his master. And the student shares his teacher's fate. The servant shares his master's. And since I, the master of the household, have been called Satan, how much more will you?
Amen. So we ran out of this caramel syrup that we use for our lattes, and we also ran out of oat milk. And so we had just like a corner of the carton left of the oat milk, so I poured it into my already made espresso shot, and I needed more milk, and so I used like coconut milk, and then I found some like caramel drizzle, which is doesn't have the same consistency as syrup. It's really like thick, and so it doesn't stir very well, but when I just taste my latte, it tastes great. And if you were to taste it and you were Gen Z, you might have said something like, Alex understood the assignment. What that means is the assignment was to make a latte, and regardless of the ingredients, we got it done, and it came out good. Our friends and I hung out all day yesterday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we didn't get to film the podcast in our allotted time that we had scheduled for the podcast. And so we're doing it now in the van while all of our kids are on quiet time. And one thing we talked about the whole time was the assignment as being a Christian. And there's 7 parts to it that you're going to see in Matthew 10, 16 through 25. And when we were talking, we didn't call it the assignment, but earlier that day, God had given me that name for this sermon, because we find that many things that we get our hands into as Christians are hard things. But when we know that this is a part of the assignment, we're encouraged. And we say, oh, wow, like if this is what I am supposed to be going through, then though it's hard, there's a purpose in it. And I want you to feel encouraged by that as well. So the first part of the assignment is being harmless. If you read the first verses, it says, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wary as serpents and harmless as doves. What he's calling us to do is what he is telling the apostles to do. And that is to go out, bear witness to the world about who he is through how I've gifted you, through the gifts of the Spirit. I don't know how you're gifted, but you're called to use your gifts to reach the church and use your gifts to go out and find the lost sheep of God. Now, when we do that, we have to make sure we're being harmless, yet wise. He's calling them to fulfill their mission by being wise without being harmful, innocent without being gullible. Most of the time, we find that when we try to be wise and clever as a serpent, we end up being harmful, hurting someone. And sometimes we think that the innocent are gullible. They'll fall for anything. But we're called to live innocently but not fall for everything. We're called to use clever guidance and wisdom, but to remain harmless. That's the only way you're going to survive as a Christian. Clever as a snake, innocent as a dove. That is Christ. He's so quick-witted. He's so calm, so quiet, so wise, so powerful, so one step ahead of his enemies. And he's innocent and glides through life like a beautiful dove. It's beautiful how he lives. You have to look at his life to empower you to live that way. The second part of the assignment is hurt. All of these assignments start with H. Part one, harmless. Part two, hurt. It says in verse 17, but beware, for you will be arrested and tried and whipped in the synagogue. This happened to all the apostles. They all had to go through some sort of physical pain for standing up for Christ. Why? If we're going to share in his glory, indeed we must share in his suffering. Mm-hmm. People are going to want to see you in pain because of what you believe. Because what you believe brings a sort of pain to them. So they're going to want an eye for an eye. They're going to want a tooth for a tooth. They're going to want to inflict pain back on you because it hurts them to hear you say what you believe about Jesus. Because what we're claiming to believe is that there's no other God. We're claiming to believe that there's no name under heaven by which you can be saved. That's extremely offensive for people who want to find their own way to heaven or are already trusting in what they believe will get them to heaven. It's extremely offensive to tell them, no, you're wrong. There's only one name under heaven that can save you. Because that hurts them, they're going to want to inflict pain back on you. Mm. And overseas, our brothers and sisters that are Christians, they're experiencing physical pain. Here in America, because of laws, because of a form of peace that we have, we're going to be inflicted with emotional and mental pain because the people that you're trying to transform are wolves. And verse 16 says, I'm sending you out as a sheep among wolves. What would happen if a sheep would try to transform a werewolf back into a human? That's what he's saying. You're going to get bit. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get emotionally, mentally, physically stepped on. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to turn a werewolf back into a human. That is what Christ has given us access to. Only he can reverse the terrible transformation. Because of sin, what happens is we go from being human to a nasty, disgusting, evil, drooling, vengeful, slashing werewolf. That is who we are. Christ reverses that process, brings peace, brings humanity back to us. We're called to bring that to people, but you're going to get hurt in the process. Part three is the hot seat. Look at this. It says, yes, you must stand trial before governors and kings for my sake. This will give you an opportunity to tell them about me. Yes, to witness to the world. All the apostles, if you read the book of Acts, they all got opportunities to bear witness to Jesus in front of important people. Sometimes governors, sometimes kings. Jesus says, this will happen. It's a promise. Now, you may not be pulled before the president like the apostles were in their day, but everyone in our culture thinks they are some kind of ruler. Mm-hmm. Everyone in our culture thinks that they are a king or a queen and they talk to each other that way. Slay king, slay queen. Yes, queen. We joke around, but what we're really saying is you're a ruler. So rule your own kingdom. Short king, tall king, whatever. We love to just ascribe royalty and power to each other. Because when we go to our beds at night and we turn on our little digital devices, in a way, we are rulers of our own kingdom. When we turn on and power on the video games, in a way, we are rulers of our own kingdom. Not saying that video games are bad. Not saying that TV is bad. Not saying that your phone is bad. What's bad is your heart. Because we're going to be pulled in front of our peers and asked to stand up for Christ, that is the hot seat. And that's part three of the assignment. And the goal is to not give up because of discomfort and because of our audience. Will you speak up? Because when Jesus was put on the hot seat, he stood up for you. When he was put on the hot seat, which was the cross, he stood up for you so that you would have the power to stand up for the Father. Mm. Part four is helped. So part one, harmless. Part two, hurt. Part three of the assignment, hot seat. Part four, helped. When you're in that situation, when you're called in front of people, whether it be at work, at school, wherever, at home, will you stand up for him when you're on that hot seat? Because the promise is you will, and you will be helped. When you're arrested, verse 19, don't worry about what you'll say at your trial, for you will be given the right words at the right time, for it won't be you doing the talking. It will be the Spirit of your Heavenly Father speaking through you. When you're on the hot seat, as a harmless and hurt Christian, you'll be helped by God, because you're there to bear witness to him. You don't have to rely on your own strength and your own knowledge. When you're on the hot seat as a Christian, God in that moment will see you standing trial for his glory, and he will empower you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. He's not saying you have to have the gift of preaching to have that. He's not saying you have to be a well orator, an orator, a really good speaker. Some of the apostles, if not all of them, were not great speakers. We're talking about fishermen. We're talking about tax collectors. We're talking about people that he pulled from the bottom. These guys weren't great speakers. If they were, they would have had different professions. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, don't rely on your own strength and your own knowledge, not by your power. It's by my might that you'll know what to say. You will be helped. Mm-hmm. Part five of the assignment of being a Christian is this: brother will betray brother to death, and fathers will betray their own children. Children shall rise against their parents and cause their deaths. Everyone shall hate you because you belong to me. But all of you who endure to the end will be saved. What he's saying is this: you're going to be hated. You need to be harmless. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be put on the hot seat. You're going to be helped, but you're also going to be hated for being a Christian. Being a Christian doesn't mean your life gets easier. Being a Christian means now the team that you once were on hates you. Mm-hmm. The flesh, the world, and the devil were your boys. Now they're not your boys. When you become a Christian, your life gets better, but not easier. Mm-hmm. Your life gets fuller, but not less hard. It gets harder. You got the flesh, the world, and the devil all fighting against you. Why? You belong to Jesus. To say you belong to God means you belong to, that means you don't belong to the world. Mm-hmm. And if you don't belong to them, you don't subscribe to what they subscribe to. You don't believe in what they believe. You don't support what they support. And that makes them mad, because that drives a wedge between you and them. And that said, and that makes them feel as if they're doing something wrong. And they are. They should feel that. But they don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
So they're going to hate on you because of what you believe. Mm-hmm. We see this in Christianity. We see people stand up for the family, but to stand up for the family is to stand against trans rights. And so they hate the family. They hate what Christians believe about family. To stand up for God is to stand against the world. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Mm-hmm. This is a part of being a Christian. If you're being hated right now, and you don't even know why, you don't even have to have a good reason for people to hate you. People within your own church, just because you're in the church doesn't mean they don't subscribe to the world. People in your own church, your own circles, your own tribe will hate you. And you don't have to have done anything wrong. Just because you belong to Jesus and they see that and it's bright and it's convicting, they're going to want to cast you out and they're going to hate on you. Just know you're in good company. The first Christians that ever were sent out by Jesus were told they're going to be hated. Now, the next part is you're going to be hurried. Look at verse 23. When you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. I will return before you have reached them all. He's saying, you're going to be hurried. You're going to be hurried. When it says the Son, he says, I will return, the accurate translation says, the Son of Man will return before you've reached them all. What that usually means is judgment. Now we know Jesus later prophesies in the book of Matthew about the judgment of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and it came to pass. The point here is hurry. Anytime the Son of Man is used in scripture, it's usually talking about judgment. So he's talking to the apostles about reaching the lost sheep of Israel. And he's saying, the Son of Man will return. He's saying judgment is going to come and hit the temple in 70 AD before you've reached all the towns. This isn't talking about his second coming. The point up here to the disciples is he's saying, hurry. Hurry. As a Christian, you will be hurried. There is no, because he's coming, you see? And this time he's coming, he's not coming to destroy the temple. He's coming to get us and destroy the world this time. And so when he comes, have you done the assignment? Have you understood the assignment? And the last part of the assignment is you will be humiliated. He ends by saying this, a student is not greater than his teacher. The student shares in his teacher's fate. The servant shares in his master's. Since I, the master of the household, have been called Satan, how much more will you? How humiliating was it for Jesus to be called Satan by the people around him, by religious teachers, by people who were his friends or claimed to be his friends, or claimed to be his peers. They called him Satan. That's evil. That's messed up. That's heavy. That's humiliating. But what does he say? The student is not greater than the teacher. Because Christ was humiliated, you will be humiliated. It's a part of it, of being a Christian. But Jesus was humiliated so we could be his. That's what he paid for. Because Jesus understood the assignment, now we can get the good grade. That is the good news of the Bible. He understood the assignment. We are not going to be able to do this seven-part list of H's: harmless, hurt, hot seat, helped, hated, hurried, humiliated. We're not going to be able to do it. It's just too hard unless we look to him, unless we understand that Jesus was, he was the one that understood the assignment that God sent him out to do. And now we can get the good grade because he understood the assignment. I don't know if you ever cheated off of your friends in school. But when you're doing group projects, there's always that one kid who really understands the assignment and gets it done. And because he did, you get the grade. And that's what Christ did for us. He partnered up with us. He became our teammate, our brother, our friend. When we didn't deserve that. He understood the assignment so we could get the good grade. Now, when you get to heaven, even if you don't do this assignment perfectly, understand all seven parts and you don't live it perfectly, because you won't at times, you never will do it right. Even when that happens, you will get to heaven and you will get a good grade because you've trusted in your partner, your friend, your brother to understand the assignment for you. That is the good news. So how could we not do our best if he's given us his best? Father, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for what you've made possible through the cross. Help us to live for you and understand the assignment. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. And our question today is, have you understood the assignment? Have you understood the assignment? And Alex, broke this down really well, and I just love each part and how I can really reflect on my life and see, have I really understood the assignment and in my life as a Christian? I do see just in each of these areas times when I've really resonated or encountered this these types of tasks in the assignment. And the one that really resonated with me the most, though, was number two, which is hurt. And a couple weeks ago, we had an older couple visit house church, and they have 10 or 11 children. And I was just talking with the wife and just reflecting on just having a lot of children and talking about how, like, the comments that we get from those who don't understand why we've chosen to have a big family. And she also said, but don't get me wrong, like, there were tears. There were lots of tears. And I remember, like, just thinking, like, oh, yeah, for sure. And thinking, like, it's supposed to be this way. And just like that really clicking for me. And it's like, there can be joy in the fact that there's hurt. There can be joy in the fact that there's suffering, because it's supposed to be that way. And that's how we grow, right? Like, that's how we, that produces perseverance, which then produces character. And then finally, you know, produces hope. And yesterday when we were with our friends, our friend, friends have their first baby girl and they're expecting their second child. She's pregnant. And we were also just talking, reflecting on motherhood too. And I was like thinking of when I first became a mother and just how hard those sleepless nights were, how hard it was just being new, everything being new, not going into it blindly, kind of like not knowing what to expect and really having to like die to myself. And just specifically speaking of the lack of sleep, like just how hard it was when I didn't get a good night's rest, like how exhausted and tired I was the next day, and how that's, my body has adapted and changed so much now with having 5 children that I can like have a great day with just like 4 hours of sleep. And I think that just like relates so much to what suffering does in our life. Like, when the more we go through suffering, the more we're able to like withstand it. And it's, so we should have joy in it. We should be thankful when it comes, because we know that it's producing good character. And most importantly, like, we're sharing in Christ's sufferings. He went through the ultimate suffering on our behalf, completely innocent. And we get to share in that. And what we go through is just a tiny sliver of what he went through. It pales in comparison to what he did for us, because of us, not just for us, but because of us. And so, yeah, I love this. And I just love that I can like go through my notes throughout this week and really like see where God has worked in each of these areas in my life. And, just dive in deeper in trust with him, knowing that, okay, these things are going to happen. But he will be the one, he's the strong tower. Like, he's the one who will help me out. And I don't have to fear what comes. Cause I think all of these things, you know, all of these points, they deal with people, right? And that's like my number one fear is people. And so, you know, I don't have to fear people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. I don't have to fear, because like his Holy Spirit will help me.
Yep. The teacher was killed so the student could live. And the student is not greater than the master.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that this week. And we love you. Pray that you're encouraged. And amenpodcast.com to support us.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a review. Subscribe, all that good stuff. Love you, and we'll see you in the next one.
And until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.